Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi of the Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 30387, Phoenix, Arizona 85046. We were discussing the stature of Christ, and we went in the first sermon. If you have been following this series, in the first sermon we are talking of God is love. And that he is calling us to come and become the sons of God, the sons of love. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now, that was First John, or Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 12. He gave you and me power to become son of God when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, the stature of a son of God is what we are describing. Many of us, we only think of the stature of Christ as the stature to be able to perform wonders and miracles. But you see, the wonders and the miracles follow when we are sons of God. If you are the son of a king, you automatically you are rich because your father is the king. He owns everything. Automatically you are rich. But many of us, we are looking for the wealth, the money, when we are not yet sons of the king. But he's saying, when you just become his son and you have all these things. We wanted to be able to make the lame to walk. We want to make the blind to see. We want to make the deaf to hear. We want to raise the dead. But we are not sons of God yet. All he wants you and me to be is to become a son of God. That is, to have the character of God. And I said in the earlier broadcast that a son of a father is twofold. The Bible said, the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to the Jews. He said, you are not of Abraham. They said they were seed of Abraham. He said, if you are Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham. Well, we know he was talking to the Jews that were biologically sons of Abraham by according to their biological descendancy. Okay? The biological nature says you are from this grandfather Abraham, yes. But he said, you are not the children of Abraham because there's the two parts to being a son. The biological image, then the image of the nature and the character and the training and the teaching of a parent. That is when you are fully in the image of your parent. If you are rebellious and disobedient to your parents, you are not in their image because they are trying to shape you to become like them. That was all God has been preoccupied with. To make us become sons of God. To shape us in our attitudes, in our acts and reactions. Actions and reactions and in our words and our deeds. He wants us to become like him. And we say, what is God? God is love. He that dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God and God in him. So he wants us to become sons of God. Sons of love. And we begin to analyze what is this love we are talking about. What is this love we are talking about? Everything the Lord Jesus Christ did, you can trace it back to his compassion for humanity. His love for the fellow he is healing. In the one of the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ did, there was a leper that came to Jesus. And he said, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And immediately the Lord Jesus Christ touched him and said, I will. Be thou clean. You see, the reason why that was important is this. In Israel, you can look at the stories in the Old Testament. They were made to believe, because that was what Moses wrote down for them, that anyone that is afflicted with leprosy, God is the one that afflicts them with leprosy. They must have done something wrong or something. And so, anyone that was a leper, they have nothing to... They can't even go to a doctor. Because they were believing that it was God that did this to them. How can God do this to you and then you call on God to take it away? It's like they have done something wrong to God. So they were outcast out of the city. They were outcast out of the city. Now here comes a prophet, the son of God indeed. And this man does not know what to do. He believed that this man could do it, but he does not know whether God wanted to do this thing or not. Because they were made to believe God put this thing upon them. Well, God will take responsibility for most of those things in the world, but it is actually God allowed these things to happen because he has left humanity with choices. I will get into that in a moment. But just to make you to see the compassion that God's love that Christ came to manifest was how God has been and what God is all along. Why did Moses wrote this like this? A tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye. You see all those things. Humanity wrote laws for one another that was binding on unbinding us. That in fact, God just allowed those things to be like that until the Messiah will come, who will show the express image of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, they will do all these things unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. We have not known the Father God at all. But we are following what some men wrote down and said, this is how God wants you to do it. And everything that Moses wrote, the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples, to his people when he was preaching, he said, Moses wrote these things for your hardness, because of the hardness of your heart. Oh, you mean you can put the blame on Moses and not on God? That was what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He said, Moses gave you these precepts because of the hardness of your heart. But in the beginning, it was not so. That was an example. Which means there are many things that Moses wrote down that God just allowed that to be written down for them to control their lives like that. But in the beginning, it was not so. God is love. Now, you have to know that when we say God is love, does not mean you can just go and do anything you want to do, and because he loves you, he will not punish you. No, he's still a just God. But he's still merciful also. However, his love is calling you unto himself, that come and become like me. Come and become like God. We're going to analyze this deeper and deeper. Let's continue. We were in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, talking about what love really is. And this is the stature of God, the stature of the Son of God, the stature of a perfect man, the stature of Christ, that we have compassion to heal the sick. How did he make the lame to walk? It is out of his compassion. It has to be a love. You can go there and try to make the man to rise up and walk, and just for your ego, just to show that you have this power, that is not the kind God is looking for. God is looking for a son of love, a child of love, a child of God, that he can put all his characters, all his attributes into you. You are going to bear the seven spirits of God, which is seven spirits of love. And then they can even nail you to the cross, you'll still be praying for them. That is the stature of a son of man, of a son of God, the stature of Christ. The fullness of the stature of Christ that is calling us to become. And that is the kingdom he wants to create on this planet Earth, the kingdom of sons of love. And that is what God is looking for. Until he gets this love in the church, you can bet the rapture is not yet. Even if he's just going to get the first fruits of this planet to become sons of God. Until that is done, when he can get this love, fervent love manifesting, he's not done yet. Every preacher, prophet have been saying the Lord is coming soon in the 1970s, in the 1980s, I even think the year 2000 will bring everything. No, he has not found his body, the church, full of that love yet. We are green and not ripened yet. And this is the capstone of the message, that God is love. And he's wanting you and me to begin to manifest, exercise these fruits of love. And let's go ahead and see what love really is. I started in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to make you to see what Apostle Paul was writing to the church here. Because in the church of the Corinthians, they were already conflicting with one another, competing with one another. That I'm an apostle. No, I'm the prophet. Oh, I am apostle prophet. Oh, I'm a teacher. And everybody thinks they are bigger than the next person. And he could sense that something is missing. Love is missing. And in verse 31 of chapter 12, Apostle Paul said, you may covet earnestly all these best gifts, yet I show to you a more excellent way. And this more excellent way is that love, the God's kind of love now, not the love of emotion where it becomes the marriage kind of love, the sexual kind of love, no, or the giving kind of love that shows that, oh, I love him, that's why I give him money. He says it's deeper than that. Those are all some parts of it, but it's deeper than that. It is the love that Christ has for humanity, that the same people that were nailing him to the cross, spitting on him, He still loved them and didn't call fire down upon them, and he didn't curse them, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That kind of love is what God says he is. God is love. Just look around you. See how many people say there is no God. And God didn't send thunder and lightning from the sky to knock them down just to prove himself. You see, God is love. See what I'm saying? God is love. And it wants you and me to become sons of love that will transform this whole world. That is exactly what he is calling you and me to. This is the age where sons of God must manifest. That the sons of love that God is raising up must manifest the full character of God. And that is when the power can follow those sons of love. The power we are talking about to raise the dead, to make the blind to see, to move mountains out of the way. It follows that kind of compassion, that kind of attributes, the attributes of God, the attributes of love. Here it is. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. He said, these supernatural things everybody is wanting to get, if you have it and you don't have love, you'll be using it just for ego, just for show up, just to show that you have the power and they don't have it, and to show that your ministry is bigger than their ministry. But love does not do that, because we're going to go to what love really is in verse 3 in a moment. He said, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. So you see what I'm saying? The supernatural power to do wonders, to do miracles, everybody wants to flex their muscles against the devil. And yet, how are we flexing that muscle? It's out of pride, out of egoistic, show off. He said, but if you don't have this love, he said, we are nothing. It's like we are going nowhere. He said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, that is now the giving part where everybody say, well, maybe love is give to this fellow, give to that fellow, give. He said, you can do all those giving and still don't have this love, because giving can be a show off too. I can even give my body to be burned. Like we say, well, Christ died for the, we say, but it's the heart we are talking about. What is your motive? What is your motive? God is looking for motives. When I feel like I want to pray for that man so that he can get off of that sick bed and be well, what is my motive? I want you to ask yourself that question every time the thought comes to your heart to do something. What is your motive? Even this something to do something good for somebody else. Check your motive first. Let sure your motive is right. Is it out of love? Out of compassion? No wonder Apostle Paul said when he was talking to the Christians, to the apostles, to the Christians in 2 Corinthians, that they are to contribute money so that they can send it to the church in Jerusalem. He said, let it not be out of compulsion. That is, I need this money. Well, they say we must contribute money. Well, let me just contribute. That is not the kind of giving that is going to be blessed. Out of compulsion or out of necessity, it's like, my children need food, I just have to find food. You are not doing it out of love. It's just, it's like a your responsibility kind of a thing. Everybody has responsibility. Those are good things. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it out of responsibility. Those are necessary things, but that is not the love we are talking about. It becomes love when it's coming out of your heart, because this is a compassion, a love-driven motivation. That is when it can become a sacrificial giving, because there is a love connected to it, not a necessity and not out of duty and not out of responsibility, which all humanity have to still do. But it's calling for a higher order, my friend. God is calling for, because God is higher than man. That is why he's looking from the high and lofty place and seeing all our motives are just responsibility for your family, or out of duty, or out of compulsion, necessity. Everybody, I've got to help him because nobody else will help him if I don't do it. Those are all out of necessity. But he's looking for compassionate love, which comes only from the Holy Ghost. That's why the Bible said, God himself is this love. And he is wanting us to have this kind of love. You see, how can we get it? It is God that is going to drop it into your heart. But you must be willing and you must ask Him for it. You must submit to it. It's like the Holy Ghost. We can talk to you about the Holy Ghost, can make you speak in tongues and tell you about everything for a long time until you believe and you say yes to the Holy Ghost and let's ask Jesus to give it to you. And when it comes, it's a gift, it's a visit, a visitation where is a presence coming to you and then stays with you. Then you have the Holy Ghost and you now begin to speak with tongues. Now you have all these good gifts. That is the same thing I'm talking about when we say this love that is coming is a coming visitation of the Holy Ghost kind of love that will change your nature. But it's something that He will not force Himself upon you, just like Christ does not force Himself upon anybody. You must see His character and say, Lord, this is what I want to become. Lord, yes, this is what I want to become. Lord, yes, this is what I want to become. I want to become a son of God in this compassionate kind of love. And ask Him for it. Ask Him to visit you. Ask Him to come into your heart, to take you over. Then love will possess you fully and take you over. That is the kind of love that God wants to manifest. But see, God cannot manifest. It's already, the deposit is already in you. If you have the Holy Spirit of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, that deposit is there. Just like the deposit to be able to speak with tongues, prophesy, all those things, gifts of the Holy Ghost, they are already deposited once you have the Holy Ghost. Because He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they shall cast out devils. See, once you have the Holy Ghost, the potential is there. But there are many of those characteristics He could not manifest because you are resisting Him. Your attitude is resisting His love that He wanted to manifest. Your vengeful behavior, anger, hating your brother and your spouse, fighting with one another, you are not submitting to what He wants to do in you. And that is why this fruit we are talking about look like it's going to come from somewhere else again. No, the deposit is there like a seed that has to germinate and begin to let it germinate and produce and then blossom and take you over. That is what we are saying, that God has put this deposit of Holy Ghost in you. And it has to manifest all these attributes of love to take us completely over so that we will be just like Christ. Then the power can manifest when we are sons of God indeed. So when we say this thing will come, does not mean that another thing is still coming. It's going to blossom from within you when you let Him. That is why He said, unto all of us is the Spirit given, so profit with it. Profit with all. Now He has given you the power to become. So the power is resident in you, like a seed that is put there. You put a seed of, let's say, a bean or corn, put it in the ground, and the moisture, the heat is not right, it will just be a seed in the ground. And it will not germinate and begin to produce plants and blossom and produce fruits until the moisture has to be right. The same way, the Holy Ghost is already deposited in you. It cannot produce this kind of love we are talking because your attitude is not right. Your actions and your willingness is not right. So you have not produced the right kind of environment for that to germinate in you and blossom and produce this kind of love. Why? Because you still have some people you hate. You still have some tribes you don't like. You still have some other people that they hurt you, you can't forgive. You still have this unforgiveness. And those are the reasons why God has put in the church apostles, teachers, pastors to continue to teach you and me how to throw away all this unforgiveness, how to get rid of all this bitterness, how to get rid of all. He said, put off all these things. And Apostle Paul listed some of the things you and I have to put off. Talking to you, believer now, put off all of this anger, wrath, malice, filthy communication, and bitterness, and all those things. When you put them off, begin to exercise to put them off. Then you are producing a good atmosphere, a good moisture environment for that seed of love to germinate in you and produce and take you over. When you begin to exercise these precepts that we say, and it's going to listen to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because it says, even if you have the gift of wonders and miracles, and don't have love, you are nothing. Even if you bestow your goods to feed the poor and still don't, or give your body to be born and don't have love, you profit you nothing. Now he's going to begin to tell you what love is. Here it is. These are the things you have to exercise. As you begin to exercise these attributes, these behaviors, submitting to this kind of behaviors, you are producing an atmosphere for the seed of love to germinate, produce, and blossom and take you over. And it is when we are taken over completely by that love that has all these attributes, that is when we become sons of God. Here is one of the things that love is. Love, verse 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, love suffers long. See, patience. Love suffers long. Long suffering. Think about yourself and say, are you long suffering enough? And he said, love is kind. Are you kind enough? Now begin to exercise these things in every aspect of your life, into every people around about you, not just to Christians, even to those who hate you, even those who don't want to hear the gospel you are preaching, even to those who just wanted to beat you up because you have another religion. See, love is kind. And you are to be the son of love. Love is patience, long-suffering. And he said, love envies not. You are not to be envious. Do you have the other man that has the new clothes or a new gown, a new car? Don't be envious. Or another country that is full of wealth and your country is poor? Don't be envious. Love is not envious. So you see, you are not talking of the love that comes from the outside. It's the love that comes from the inside, from the Holy Spirit. That is what you are saying. And this love is what God says, if you yield to it, it will overwhelm you and take you over, and then you will become a son of God, a son of love indeed, when you begin to let this type of attributes of love take you over. See, love vaunted not itself. That is, you don't puff up. It's not puffed up. You don't brag. That is the love he's talking about. Love is not puffed up. He said, love does not behave itself unseemly. That is, love is not rude. It is, does not seek our own. You see, love is not self-seeking, not selfish, not self-centered, only thinking that, hey, I want this power so that I can show that my ministry is greater. All of those things are self-seeking, self-centeredness. Love is not that. And he said, love is not easily provoked. That is, it does not get angry easily. Somebody is wanting you to start a fight with you, is provoking you, pushing you, calling you names. See, love is not easily provoked, not getting angry easily. That is something from the heart, that your emotion is taken over completely by this love. But you have to begin to yield to this type of lifestyle. That's when Christ can say, if they even slap you on one cheek, turn the other also. Say, who can do that? Nobody has been able to do that. He's saying, what we make people to fight back, it's an emotion. Adrenaline in your blood is pumping. See, but love can take possession of you and control everything about you. That is when you can be able to be like this, where he said, you are not easily provoked. And say, love thinks no evil. That is, you don't even remember wrong done to you. But because you forgive whatever they have done, you have forgiven them. That is when he said, love thinketh no evil. Love does not think of evil, does not remember the wrong things somebody did last year. Some families, husband and wife, friends, they say, he did that to me last week, he did that to me last year. They still bring it back to mind. He said, love does not remember the wrong done to him. That is what he's saying about, he thinks no evil. Now, begin to exercise yourself to that type of attitude. And then you are beginning to create an atmosphere where this seed of love can germinate, produce flowers and trees and leaves, and take you completely over. Take over your whole being, your emotions. Then you will be sons of God indeed. When we become sons of God indeed, that is when the power of God, full power of God, can be used and utilized by us, because we are no more doing it out of show off, out of ego, but out of compassion for mankind, out of love. That is what God is waiting for before he can manifest the sons of God. Sons of love. Sons of God. Manifestation of the sons of God. Manifestation of the sons of love. Because God is love. And he went further. He said, love rejoiceth not in iniquity. That is, every sin, every misbehavior, every attribute of sin that the world is full of, love dislikes all those evil things. You don't rejoice in it. It makes you sad in your heart. Love does not rejoice in those iniquities. That's why Apostle Paul will say, those who are in Romans chapter 1, the last few verses, that those who know that these things are evil, they even delight in those people that are doing them. Maybe you don't lie, you say, I'm not a drunkard, but those drunkards, you say, I don't care if they drink. But because you don't have the money, that's why you're not a drunkard yet then. You should care that they are drinking because they are destroying their soul, their life. So what he says is that you don't delight in iniquity, but you rejoice in the truth. That is, you rejoice with the word of God. You are one of them that when you hear the word of God, you say that they are excited about the word. That's they rejoiced in the truth. Let the word of God be what you do day and night, like Psalm 1 said. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. That is what the sons of love will be, the sons of the word of God, the sons of love, the sons of God. You are to delight in the word of living God. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth, in the word. Now, verse 7 said, love beareth all things. Are you able to bear your neighbor, your next door neighbor? Love beareth all things. Are you able to bear all the bad behaviors of your spouse? Love beareth all things. Maybe somebody wanted to shut down your building because they are of another religion and your church, they don't like it. Love beareth all things. You don't strike back. Love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Do you believe in people? Some people, they already condemn other people and say, well, this one can never go to heaven. You believe God can change them. Love believeth all things. Believe in the best of people. Believe the best of people. That is, don't condemn them to destruction. Like, this will never change. Love believeth all things. Say, believe in the best out of people. That is what it means to have love for that man. Because you are believing God can touch this fellow, you keep on praying for them. Love believeth all things. And he said, love hopeth all things. What is your hoping? Hoping that the Lord will make a way. Love hopeth all things. Love endures all things. Even painful things, love endures it just for sheer love. This is all the attributes God is saying. He wants us to begin to exercise so that the seed of love that he is already deposited in us will be able to germinate and take us over, completely possess us and be able to control our emotions. And that is when we become sons of love. And that is the verse 8 said, this love never fails. It never fails. It never fails. Why? Because God is that love. And God never fails. It may look like, hey, it's kind of, everything is falling apart. I say, God never fails. It will come true. And I want you to think about that. And we're going to continue this sermon and begin to go to the talks about how God shows love in all the things he did in the earlier, in all his miracles and wonders. I want you to write to us because this is a very important message to make you to see that we have got to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ to be able to go away from there without seeing death, to be able to go in the rapture. For the first fruits must arrive at that fullness of the stature of Christ. Do you want to be one of them? Then you must come to that sonship, love, sheep, sons of God level, sons of love. God bless you. Write to us, Gospel Distribution Ministry, Box 30387, Phoenix, Arizona, 85046, USA. God bless you.